podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. If you have your pew Bible, that's on page 740. Luke 15, verses 1 through 7. Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 to the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for a Savior, a Redeemer, a Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Now, has it ever crossed your mind as you've read that passage of Scripture and heard that story before about the shepherd who leaves the 99 to go and get the one? Has it ever crossed your mind that you are that lost sheep? Have you ever put yourself in that position before and said, "I am the lost sheep" in that story? And maybe you've read the story and you felt all warm inside about the shepherd and all of his great rescuing actions, willingness to leave the 99 and to grab that sheep and to place it on his shoulders and to return to the other sheep. But have you ever stopped to consider that you are that sheep? You were doing your own thing. You were enjoying the warmth of the day. You were following the scent of the green grass, wherever it might lead you. You were enjoying yourself. You were taking in all that the pasture had to offer in your own little world, just filled with pleasure. But now it's getting dark. Things are starting to change. You're far from home. You don't even know where you are. You're far from your flock. You're not where you're supposed to be. There's no sign of the shepherd. You're all alone. There's wolves and coyotes that are beginning to howl. The sun's going down. The air's getting damp. Fear begins to grip your heart because you're lost. And you don't even know the full extent of your lostness. You don't know the danger that you're in, separated from the shepherd. And any other shepherd might just cut his losses, right? I mean, Jesus says, don't you leave the 99 in order to go after the lost sheep? Isn't that what everyone would do? I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure if every shepherd would do that. Some shepherds might say, you know what? I got 99 sheep. I'm not going to leave them to go get one. The dumb sheep, he made his own decision. He made his own mistake. He wandered off by himself. Leave him out there. I got a couple more sheep that are pregnant. I've got some along the way. There'll be more sheep to come. We can lose one. You know, the dumb sheep shouldn't have wandered off to begin with. It's survival of the fittest, right? That's the way that nature works. So we're just going to allow the circle of life to take its course. This sheep deserves whatever it gets. Now, where did I leave my sleeping bag? That seems to be the way of the shepherd. But this shepherd is a picture of Jesus. This shepherd is a demonstration of the kingdom of God. We've been talking a lot about Jesus lately and his character. And today we talk about Jesus as the Redeemer. Jesus is the type of shepherd that leaves the 99 behind in order to rescue the one. So here you are, lost, alone, in a world of trouble, your own worst enemy, in a danger of your own choosing. You are the lost sheep, and Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is the Redeemer. This is his job description. Look at Luke chapter 19, verse 10. It says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." This is what Jesus came to do. Luke 1:68, Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He is the Redeemer. Now, we've been singing about this all morning. You know, we started off with the hymn as we sang, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, right? And special music today, you know my Redeemer lives. Like, yeah, we sing about the Redeemer. You might be sitting there asking the question, well, what really is a Redeemer? I mean, it's a great song, and the word fits in there, and it rhymes with the other words, but really, what is a Redeemer? What does it mean to be redeemed? What is this word all about? We hear preachers talk about it all the time. We talk about how happy we are to be redeemed, but what on earth does it mean? Well, in biblical terms, the word redeemed carries with it the idea of paying a price. There's a price involved in redemption. A redeemer pays a price in order for something or someone to be moved from one condition to the next. It's basically what a redeemer does. You can redeem a coupon, and you've done this before. This simply means that you use the coupon to help you pay the price. So you walk into the store, and you see some detergent that you would like. You bring it up to the counter. You give the person at the counter your coupon. You redeem the coupon, but you also give them the cash that's required, and you walk out with your detergent, and nobody can take come up to you in the parking lot and say, hey, wait a second, where are you going with that detergent? That's not your detergent. Say, well, yeah, it is. Well, how do you prove it? You show them the receipt. Say, look, I paid the price. I redeemed the coupon. This is now mine. It belongs to me. And that is what a redeemer does. A redeemer pays the price. In Bible times, the word redeem was often used of a sale of a slave. It's one of the places where it was used. A slave trader would put a slave up for auction, for sale, and someone, perhaps even a family member of that slave, would show up in order to buy the slave, in order to pay the price for the slave. They would bid on that slave, and if a family member had enough money to do this, they would redeem the slave. They would pay the price for this family member, bring them out of slavery, and set them free. But what a wonderful picture, what a wonderful story of what it means to be a redeemer. And this is what Jesus does. He redeems. He pays the price for your freedom. You are lost sheep. You are enslaved to the danger and the darkness and the sin of this world. And he does whatever it takes to rescue you. You are slaves to sin. He paid the price on the cross for you to be free. He always seeks to move you from hopelessness to hopefulness. This is what he does. He's the physician who comes to the sick people and cures them. He is the Savior who sees you on the rough seas and he says to the seas, peace be still, and he rescues you from danger. He's the one who takes you from darkness to light, the one who transforms you, who finds you, who fixes you, who heals you, who puts your life back together again. Jesus is your Redeemer. He takes you from where you were in lostness and darkness and brokenness, and he pays the price, whatever it takes, for your transformation and your rescue and your salvation. Jesus is your Redeemer. Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 says, we are waiting for a blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then it describes Jesus. It says, he gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Do you see the picture? Jesus is the one who paid the price for us to go from wickedness to purity. We at one time were lost, like the lost sheep. He has paid the price. Now we are found, and we are eager to do his will, to do what is good. From wickedness to purity, that's the redemptive power of Jesus Christ, to move us from where we are to a much better place. So let's look at the role of the Redeemer. The role of the Redeemer, the most amazing part of this sheep story, is that this shepherd is willing to leave 99 sheep behind in order to rescue the one sheep. And one of the reasons I say that is because the passage of Scripture tells us, where are the sheep? Where are these sheep? They're in the open country. Okay, so you might have a picture in your mind that, okay, the shepherd takes his 99 sheep and he locks them up, you know, inside the fold, inside the barn, wherever, behind the fence, and then he goes off to look for the one. But it doesn't say that. The passage says that the 99 sheep are in the open country. So one of the roles of the Redeemer is to take a risk. To take a risk. That's the price that this particular shepherd is willing to pay. Now, what happens if he comes back with his one sheep that he has just rescued and the 99 are gone? You know, a sheep bandit or a pack of wolves. There's carnage of sheep all over. Whatever it takes. What if he comes back and they're gone? What if he goes off to try to find the one sheep and he never finds it and he comes back and the 99 are gone? There's a great risk that the shepherd takes in this story. Not every shepherd would do such a thing. And this demonstrates the love that Jesus has for you. What he is willing to do in order to rescue you. Now you might say, yeah, with my luck, I'd be one of the 99, right? He'd just leave me and go off. Look. Well, at the end of the story, we're told that the people that Jesus rescues are those who will repent. Not those who don't realize they need to repent. So really it's the lost sheep that's out there knowing it's a need of repentance, in need of the Savior. The role of the Redeemer is to risk. And Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross to give his life sacrificially, to die for you in order that you might be redeemed. Now what's the next thing the shepherd does? Well, he finds the sheep. We see him out looking through the wilderness. He lifts the sheep from danger, he places the sheep upon his shoulders, and he begins to walk back to safety. The role of the Redeemer is to rescue. To rescue. What a beautiful picture. The lost sheep has been found. Now, you've probably seen this picture in your mind, and I'm not going to put it on the screen for you, because I want you to, there are many pictures like this, but I want you to come up with your own, okay? Here's this picture of the shepherd with a broad grin on his face, joy. And he has the sheep thrown over his shoulder. And that sheep, by this time, has fallen asleep. Going back to the rest of the sheep, you've probably seen this picture somewhere before, but just imagine it in your mind for just a moment. The sheep is nestled into the neck of the rescuer, the shepherd, the Savior, fast asleep. And the shepherd has done all the work to rescue. It's a picture of what Jesus has done for you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that is you. You have been rescued from harm by the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. He has come to you in your time of danger and despair, whatever that danger is. Maybe it's not coyotes and wolves in the wilderness. Maybe that's not what concerns you today. But there is a world full of dangers that threaten your soul today. Addictions, temptations, darkness, worldliness, financial ruin. We get ourselves into these situations, and like lost sheep, you can easily stray one step at a time, headed in the direction that you think you should be headed, you know, following after pleasure, following after where the green pastures are, going the door, or maybe just following the crowd. But before long, you find yourself lost, far away from the shepherd, with no way of getting back, and no way of knowing what way to turn to even get there. But Jesus came into this world to rescue you, whatever condition you're in, to pursue you, to pick you up from the darkness that you've placed yourself in, and to lift you and to put you gently on his broad shoulders. Do you feel his protection? Do you feel that Jesus is your Redeemer? Of course, the next thing the shepherd does is to rejoice. We see that in the story. Not only does he joyfully put the sheep on his shoulders and heads home, but it also tells us that he calls his neighbors and his friends together in verse 6. And he says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. I've got the sheep back. Let's all get together and have a party so we can rejoice." There are a couple of other parables in the same chapter, Luke chapter 15. They kind of follow the same pattern. There's the parable of the lost coin. This woman loses a coin. She searches all over the house, sweeps the whole house, looking for the coin, and finally she finds the coin. Verse 9 says, here's her reaction. She calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." Does this sound familiar? Then there's the story of the prodigal son, the lost son. That also appears in Luke chapter 15. We all know that story about this boy who approaches his father, asks for his inheritance, takes his inheritance, goes out and wastes it all. And there he is sitting in the slimy pit with the pigs. And he looks at the food for the pigs and says, "Boy, that looks good." And then he finally comes to his senses and says, "I could go back to my dad and say, hey, I'll be one of your servants. And I'll be treated better than this. I'll have better to eat than this." So he goes back to his father. We know that the reaction of the father was unexpected. We see it in verse 23 of Luke chapter 15. "Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. So he throws a party, you know. Rather than whip the boy because of what he had done, he decides to throw a party for him and to celebrate his being found. So we see that the kingdom of God is a little bit different than the kingdom of this world. In all three of these stories, the story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, the story of the lost son, in all three of these stories, they end the same way, with a celebration, with rejoicing, with a party over the fact that there's now redemption in the lives of those that had been lost. All heaven rejoices when one lost sinner is found. That's what Jesus is trying to teach when he tells these stories. When one broken life is fixed, when one spiritually devastated person is redeemed, when Jesus finds you lost in your sin and places you on his shoulders and returns you home, there's rejoicing in heaven. Jesus is your Redeemer. So the role of the Redeemer is to risk, to rescue, and to rejoice. And Jesus has completed the work of the Redeemer for you. But the redeemed plays a story in this as well. There's a part for you. So let's turn our attention to the lost sheep and say, well, what in this story does the lost sheep do? Because this is the character that you most closely resemble, the role of the redeemed. Well, what goes without saying is this, that the sheep is lost. Why? Because the sheep has made a poor decision. The sheep has wandered off. There's really nobody to blame for the lostness of the sheep except for the sheep itself. Your sheep are natural followers. This is what they do. They don't have a reputation for being the smartest of animals. This may be because they have a habit of wandering off from time to time. If one sheep looks like it knows where it's going, suddenly there'll be a line of sheep following that particular sheep, headed who knows where. Like some human beings you might know. They don't have a mind of their own at times. They just tend to follow the crowd. They do what everybody else is doing. And I can hear the teenage sheep right now. Bah, right? You hear them? But everybody else is getting a tattoo. Bah. This is what everyone else wears to school. Bah. His parents got him a brand new car. Bah. But everybody's going to be at this party. Bah. I'm the only one who has to go to Sunday school. Bah, bah, bah. Have I been, you know, at your house a little lately or something? Been reading your email, what's going on here, right? But before us self-righteous adults get too comfortable, I can hear some adult sheep out there too. Bah, everybody has an HD TV these days. Bah, I can just put it on my credit card. Bah! Well, now I need a smartphone because my other phone's too dumb. Bah! You know, you hear it over and over again. The neighbor's got a new sports car. We got to keep up with them. We, like sheep, the Word of God says, have gone astray. We begin following the crowd. We begin following the world. Whatever the world says is good for us, we say, well, that sounds good to me. What everybody else is doing, it looks good. We follow the crowd. And then we end up in a mess. It's a mess of our own making. Once we get lost and endangered, where do we turn? What is the role of the redeemed? What is our job as lost sheep? The first thing we see in this story is the sheep does really nothing but rest. To rest. That's the job of the sheep. As smart as we sheep think that we are, the shepherd is the one who finds us. We don't find him. We might get back to the fold and begin bragging to everyone about how wise we were when we were lost. Oh yeah, it was scary out there, man, but I was all right. It was good. I was yelling for the shepherd. He heard me. He came and got me. You know, I found him. We searched for the sheep. We were smart enough to find the shepherd. But the truth of the story is this. The sheep is lost and helpless and as good as dead and afraid and lying somewhere in the pasture, wetting itself when the shepherd finally appears. When the shepherd hears the sound of the sheep crying out, the shepherd does all the work. The shepherd takes all the risk. The shepherd pays the entire price. The shepherd makes the journey, leaves the 99 behind, finds the sheep, picks up the sheep, puts the sheep on his shoulders, brings the sheep home. The shepherd does it all. The sheep has nothing to do with it. The sheep's job is what? To rest. I mean, the sheep could be asleep for the whole time. It wouldn't matter. The sheep just rests. No kicking. No demands. No, you know, I'm going to do this myself, okay? I can make it back on my own. No, hey, when we get close to the field, can you put me down, you know, so that I can just kind of stroll up to the rest of the sheep and say, I'm back. No. Or better yet, when we get back, can you put me down and I'll carry you? You know, I'll carry you back to the sheep and then I'll be the tough guy. There is no credit given to the redeemed. The sheep gets no credit. The Redeemer does all of the work. Oh, how we need to learn how to rest in Jesus. To just kick back and let Him save us and quit trying to do it for ourselves. We need to allow Him to carry us all the way home, to quit trying to do His work for Him, to quit kicking, to quit striving, to quit trying to get back to the scene of danger, to rest in the arms of Jesus, to just be content, consistent in our faith and in our love for Him, to quit wavering, to just sink into Him and to allow Him to save us. He paid the price. Quit trying to pay the price for yourself. Just rest in Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. The second thing the redeemed does is to repent. Now, we're not told that the sheep repents. It doesn't say anything about a sheep repenting because livestock aren't known to repent. But we are told that human beings repent. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, I tell you in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. One sinner repents. That is you. You repent of your sin. Now, what does it mean to repent? Because that's one of our responsibilities. If we're going to be redeemed by the great Redeemer, Jesus Christ, we need to repent. Probably heard this story before. It seems that there was this little old church out in the countryside. It was painted white and had this high steeple, a beautiful church in the community. The pastor was in the parsonage across the street one day. He looked out the window and he said, wow, that church needs to be painted. It's peeling. It looks horrible. People in the community were starting to complain about the condition of the church. So he went down to the nearest hardware store and he bought 2 gallons of paint. He brought the 2 gallons of paint back to the church. He began to paint the church building with this beautiful white gloss finish. It was gorgeous. But by the time he finished one side of the church, he was done with 1 gallon of paint. He only had another gallon left. So he took that gallon of paint toward the back of the church, and he happened to have a bottle of turpentine. He took the turpentine, he poured it into the paint, and he mixed it around. He came back out, and he painted the rest of the church with that last gallon of paint. He was very proud of himself. The church looked wonderful. He went across the street, got a glass of iced tea, sat down, and then the afternoon showers came. And when the afternoon showers were done, one side of the church looked wonderful, but the other 3 sides of the church looked horrible. And the pastor looked up in the sky in anguish and yelled out to God, "What shall I do?" And God responded back from the heavens saying, "Repaint and thin no more." I'm amazed that some of you haven't heard that before. That's an old one. To repent, different from repaint, means to change your mind. That's what it simply means. It means to change your mind, to reorient your thinking, to gain a transformation of who you are. It means to change your direction. That's what it means to repent. So you're headed in one direction. Repentance simply means that I've changed my mind. I'm no longer headed in that direction. Now I'm headed in the other direction. That's what repentance is all about. The repentance that we are called to when Christ comes to redeem us is to turn away from our sin and to turn toward Him. That's it. That's really all the sheep has to do in the wilderness when it comes to repentance is this. When the shepherd shows up and says, "Here I am to rescue you," the sheep has to say, "Okay, I like you better than the wilderness. Take me." That's repentance on the behalf of the sheep. For us, it's like this. I'm lost in my sin. I'm in danger. I'm in danger of spending eternity in hell separated from God. I'm fallen in my sin. I'm enslaved to addictions and trouble, and I need someone to rescue me. And then we hear about Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, and He says, "Look, if you will put your faith in me, I will save you." What's our responsibility? To repent. To say, "Okay, I'm done with this lostness, with this darkness, with following the ways of the world, and I will now follow you." It's a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of direction. That's repentance. And then we put our faith in the shepherd, the Redeemer, completely, and He saves us. It's not enough to just say that you're sorry for your sin. You know, we've heard that before. "Oh, I'm sorry I did this," but then to return right back to it. Salvation requires that you repent, that you change your mind. It's part of believing in Jesus. You know, I can give my life to you, Jesus, now, and give away my sin. Jesus, you can have my life. I'm done with trying to run it by myself. And finally, the easiest part of the redeemed, the job of the redeemed is this. Look, the role of the redeemed is to receive. Easy enough, right? To receive. We saw in these lost and found passages, they all end in a celebration. Well, it's a party. And the sheep, the coin, the prodigal son, they were the honored guests at this celebration. They didn't even have to throw the party. They were just there to enjoy it. Do they deserve a party? Not really. Think about it for a moment. They don't deserve a party. This is what makes the kingdom of God so great and makes it so different from the kingdom of this world. This lamb that wandered off by itself, it deserves a whipping, right? It deserves trouble. It deserves whatever it has coming to it. The shepherd needs to teach that lamb a lesson so it won't go out and get lost again. The lost coin, well, coins really don't have much of a thought life, but the way I look at it, that coin deserves to be locked up in a bank somewhere so it won't get lost again. That coin deserves to be spent. What about this prodigal son? Well, his older brother shows you what he thinks about the party. You know, he doesn't deserve to be accepted into this family again. Jesus has paid the price for your salvation, and you might think that you deserve a lifetime of drudgery serving God as His slave. But instead, He offers you an eternity with Him. Joy, fulfillment, satisfaction, being a part of His family. He offers you a seat at His table when you are saved. You don't get what you deserve. That's mercy. You get free gifts from God that you never earned. That's grace. The work of the redeemed is simple. To simply rest, to repent, change your mind and your heart, and to receive the grace that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. But we make it so difficult. We add rules. We get all puffed up with pride. We really need to learn how to just rest and receive and share the benefits of our faith. Humble yourself. Jesus is your Redeemer. He's done all the work. Rest in Him. Let Him carry you on His shoulders. Be the sheep. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank You today for Your Word and the comfort that it brings to us. Father, that You haven't asked us to go anywhere that You weren't willing to go before. Father, that you have sent a Savior who has done all the work of salvation for us. That He lived a perfect life. That He went to the cross. That He was the one that bore our shame. That He was the one that suffered physically, emotionally, spiritually on that cross. That He was the one who died. He was the one who paid the price so that we could have salvation from our sin. Father, let us, as the redeemed, allow You to continue to redeem us, even now, after we've already come to faith in You. May we rest in Your arms. Help us, Lord, to quit striving and kicking and trying to do what You've already done. Help us, Father, to rest in Your arms, to just be the sheep that's been rescued. We thank You, Lord, for a Savior who loves us and cares for us that much. Help us, Father, to follow You faithfully, not out of obligation, not out of trying to pay anything back to You, but because we love You. You are the great shepherd who has rescued the sheep. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.